Heritage is at the heart of every community. Here in County Monaghan, we have many significant and outstanding natural and cultural places to be understood, loved and cared for. I am Shirley Clarkin, Heritage Officer with Monaghan County Council. Today we are at the Tin Church, Lara, County Monaghan. 10 years ago, this building was dilapidated and had really no future. Then the local community took charge, got a lease from the church body, and have restored and conserved this building so that now it's very much at the heart of the local community. It's a protected structure of national importance.
My name is Barbara Lennon. I moved into Lara House, which is the original house of the owners of the mill who built this church. And I moved in 1998. And this site was completely overwhelmed by laurel plants. They were going in through the windows of the church. The windows were broken. The first job when we leased the site from the Church of Ireland was a whole community came down here with saws and clippers and secateurs and cleared the long branches. So we have it down to a site that is very similar to what they had when they set out in 1891 to do the church. We have a rhododendron here, which is 100 years old. We have planted up here a new rhododendron in the garden because it's in keeping with the original green all year round. It sets the site. The stones along the verges are covered in ferns and moss, and it gives a very soft effect to the building.
I'm Kathleen Coffey O'Connell. I'm part of Lara Heritage. We started in 2012. When we came first, this place was just falling down and trees growing through it and all that, and we used to always think, gosh, wouldn't it be lovely to do that up. So now, as it's done up, I stand in awe and look at it at times and say, it's fantastic. We're between two parishes, so when there's a collection or needing help, we have plenty of help, and the people around are fantastic with everything.
The church was built originally on one rood. There's four roods in an acre. So we're sitting in a plot of one rood, quarter of an acre. It is surrounded by the banks of the Millrace and the banks of the neighbouring gardener. But the garden itself was planted with laurels. There were two yew trees. We still have one that's 100 years old there to this day. A holly tree, which was planted when they set up the church in 1891. So between the stones, we've these self-seeding Welsh poppies from the McCain's days 200 years ago. In the stones, we've got the various types of ferns and the ivy grown over the walls. And this shows the age of the place. The building itself, renovated, isn't showing its age at all.
We're walking up the last few steps and we're coming into the beautiful door, which we got the hinges made. They're made of iron.
Cast iron.
And we're going under the spire.
The hinges were replaced as they had been salvaged by somebody in the past and they took them away. They never came back, but we got exact copies from a foundry and they're made the way the original hinges would have been made.
And then we enter the nave. Yes.
Dermot Lennon, I'm living in the village of Lara and I'm blessed to be living in Lara House. I would be the blow-in and I would have seen this church maybe in a slightly different light than the local people because it was always here and it slowly was falling down. And I took an interest and other people took an interest to try and save the church from falling. And very fortunately, In August 2012, we had a meeting here with a few of the neighbours and the rector. And it was just the very last opportunity to save the church from falling into disrepair. We practically did a blood sacrifice and said that we would not let anything stop us.
John Keenan, live locally here, chairman of Lara Heritage here. Back in 2012, I seen in the local newspaper where there was a meeting of a Heritage Forum, and I decided I'd just go to it. And the reason why I went to it was because I have an interest in vintage and heritage. I talked about Lara Church here, which was ready to fall at the time. So Noel Kearney was there, and he says, you know, maybe if you could get a committee together, that we could get something done. So the first man I spoke to, I think, was that time was Dermot here and Paul and McCall and a few of us, and we got together, and it's history after that.
It was in quite poor condition, but not unsavable. And it's a small project that was well capable of being done by a local group, but there was a hell of a lot of time put in by a hell of a lot of people in the village. And the goodwill was really amazing. And so many people who had been driving past it, as they said themselves, every day for 50 years and never set foot inside the church. When we started doing the restoration work, they all started coming in, and nearly all of them said that. But they were coming past, they saw the work, they came in and they joined in. And it's quite an amazing group in Lara, and there's such a positive feeling towards this little church. You know, it was nearly lost and now it's saved.
You only have to look at the visitors book here and see the amount of people from all over Ireland and visitors from far away that comes and visits it here. It was for many, many years and that we wouldn't even dare come up the steps of the church, you know. And it's wonderful now that you can see so many people, even the locals here and everybody else, coming to visit the church. And they're not afraid to come into it either.
You're in a very, very unusual building. It's actually a tin church. When it was originally built, which was in the 1890s, it would have been sort of the avant-garde of building styles. It's corrugated iron on the outside and wood on the inside. Now, that doesn't do the church any justice whatsoever. When you step inside, it's like stepping into a fairy world. You come around the corner and your breath is just taken away. It's a small, beautiful little building sitting on a rock. Very, very ornate, with a lovely little spire. And what makes this building slightly unusual, they would have been known as tin tabernacles, because the idea of these tin churches is they were a cheap building that was put up quickly by religious groups who were decided that the previous religious group was going in the wrong direction and they were going to go in the right direction, and they would have this little tin church that they would buy £1 a seat. So this was 50 seats, so this would have been about £50. Now, in actual fact, we know it cost 200, and that's how we know that this church was here to stay, which was 120 years ago, because it was built in 1890 and this is 2020.
The community in Lara village have shown great resilience, I think, and imagination in doing up this building. When I came here first, it had a big wasp's nest in it. The two floors were gone on either side, all the windows were vandalised. There was a big tree hanging over the roof. And the community have brought this building back into the heart of their community by doing all this very, very careful conservation work to the highest standard. They've engaged with experts in such a generous way, so that like the experts have learned nearly as much from the community here as the community have learned from the experts, because of the way they talk to each other when they're doing the workshops for the windows, or when the architect was here, for example. So I think everybody has really learned an awful lot, and now the building is like a vibrant place that's used all the time. It's probably open more now than it ever was open when it was actually a consecrated church. It's leading the way for the restoration of other buildings in the village. People have come to the fore here, the people on the committee, they're leading the way in how I think heritage can transform a community and really help it do other things, like have entertainment at the centre of their place and have historical talks and all come together for the one aim. So I think this project has been a really long-lasting sustainable, innovative and imaginative project, and it's really, really just, it's just full of such warmth and such love, this whole building now, because it's just, you can feel it the minute you walk in. It just feels so loved, and all the children that are here as part of the volunteers, and Santa comes here the whole way from the North Pole, even he thinks it's an amazing place to be. And you know, so I just think it's just so vibrant. It's just real credit to everybody here.
There was a rumour when we started in this that it was a wedding present by the local landowner to his wife, because it's got a kind of a Swiss cottage appeal to it or appearance to it. But we believe, unfortunately, it was slightly more tragic, because the main window in the church is dedicated to their eldest son, who was killed in an accident in England the year before the church was built. And we believe that the church was built in memory of this son. It's got a beautiful pulpit. It's built on a rock. The name of the church is St. Peter's, and for those of you who are slightly religious, you might be familiar with, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And so James McCain built his church upon this rock, and he did a particularly fine job, and there's some very, very unique little items in it. The altar arch is very, very unusual. We were very fortunate in that we had a sort of a video story. It was written in paper, but in those days they started off at the road, they walked up the steps, they walked into the church, and they described every little thing that they saw. So we have white steps leading up to the altar, which signifies the innocence of Adam and Eve. We have the mosaic, which is sort of chaos. We have the blood red of the altar, which signifies the blood of Christ. So this was built by Church of Ireland people who would have been very, very familiar with religious iconography. And every little thing in the church, actually, to the people of that time, would have had serious significance.
It has increased the amount of tourists to the area, which was very, very important, so it was.
Yeah, I would say as well, having this little heritage project in Lara has tightened the connections between the different heritage groups within Monaghan, so that we would regularly see people from the other heritage groups coming here, and we would go to some of their functions. And it's kind of created a heritage network, I suppose, is the best way you could describe it, where what has happened is our links have got much stronger with the different groups around the place. And this sharing of knowledge has been really excellent for the local people in the village. I mean, it's great. We now have like a little venue at the bottom of our gardens, which is just great.
As Dermot said, it's a venue in the village, and I've sat in the back of this when there was a rock concert going on up there. And if we had envisioned that in 2012, it wouldn't have been part of the uses. But it's very popular with musicians because of the sound quality of the building.
What we found when we started working on the church here, we may have thought there wasn't that much here, and it possibly would have got lost very, very quickly, the knowledge of it. The amount of history that came out of the woodwork when we started working on the church. We have the bombs that were dropped just up the way in Box. We've had 700 people working in the mill beside us. We have the history of the river, the different mills, the different people who have worked in the area, and the amount of history and the amount of information that has come out. And it's sort of made Lara, maybe not to anybody else, but certainly to the people who live here, the centre of the universe.
Probably only for the local community came behind us and backed us all the way, we wouldn't be here today.
Yeah. As mm-hmm. the and the two parishes.
When you cross the river here, you're in Dunamine, and you are now standing here in Mullen, you know. But I suppose maybe only for it, the river was diverted, or supposed to be diverted many years ago, we'd still be standing in Dunamine. But it is only for the community and the events we ran and everything else. The community came behind us and they helped us.
Our first event was like a little Glastonbury
fundraising,
and with two local bands playing, and I don't know how many thousands of people came to it, but it was just, you just arrived up and all you could see people in their high-vis jackets and little cranes and marquees, and the help that we got from the local people. But there was a latent wanting to save this building for many, many, many years. The building was closed in 63, mm-hmm. and everybody in the area seemed to have seen it as their building, as their church. And there was this latent, pent-up desire to stop it from disappearing. And as soon as the tap was opened, the water just gushed forward. And everybody stepped in. It was just amazing. Yeah.
There was incredible response to support and fundraising. Nobody cared about the religious divide. It was the building and the small village. Yeah.
And when you have a function, you need traffic control. You need somebody to take the money. There are so many things that are needed. Yeah. One day we closed the village off, and we had a heritage day in the village, and we had a little distillery. We had a putting making guy. We had a guy doing beer. We had the whole village is based on flax.
Yeah.
So we had the full of the flax, from the flax growing to the scutcheon to the weaving. But that day, you needed so many people to run that. And just everybody came out and just completely voluntary and completely for a bit of fun and crack.
Yeah, I think one of the other things I think that stood by us as well was that there was no religious divide. I think that was a big thing, so it was, because if you go back when we were young, we were told never dare go inside that gate. That would have been some disadvantage to us when we were even at the pulpit here, because there were so many locals here that never got inside it here. No one allowed in by their father and mothers and grandfathers before them. So I think the religious divide, thank God, has changed. Mm-hmm. And that has been a big help to us here.
So. Yes.
Possibly that might have been a little blessing in disguise, because like the ring forts throughout Ireland, there was this fear of coming into the church. So there was almost no vandalism. Anything that happened in the church really was just as a result of time and age.
And neglect.
So you didn't have, there was no vandalism here. Mm. And so maybe that fear actually is what saved the church. We don't really know.
I think I'd agree with you there, Dermot, because a lot of times, and indeed many times, I passed it myself at night, and I'd be very happy when I'd get from the crossroad here to over here past the well.
So it's still ingrained in your head.
You'd be fair your life, you would.
This programme has been funded by Monaghan County Council and the Heritage Council as part of the European Year of Cultural Heritage.